Now, God's going to tell them what to do. And I'll be honest with you, this is so simple that I almost hesitate to read this to you. It's so simple. It's so clear what they were to do. God told them that there were three things they were to do. You see, this is a good, conservative, fundamental sermon. All good sermons have three points. God gives them a good one here. And the solution was so simple. And so here, verses 8 through 11, you have a command to construct the temple. You see, their problem before was there was a conflict of interest. They put their homes above God's house, and they were putting their selfish ends ahead of God's program. And the Lord Jesus, even in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness." That righteousness that's in Christ. And when you have him, then he says all these things. Those things that you're after, there's nothing wrong with them. I think money can be spiritual. I think your home can be spiritual. You have a Bible class in it, or a place there where friends can come and a testimony for the Lord is given. Why, that's all, may I say, holy. That is sacred. Just not your church, but your home can be. And my feeling is that a home can be spiritual. The things that people are after, and I don't think it's so wrong that they're after them, they've put them first in their lives, and they want to use them for their selfish end. Now, God says to you, "I want to tell you what you're to do." And it's so simple. The solution here is very simple. Three things there to do. Verse 8, chapter 1 of Haggai. Listen to this. "Go up to the mountain." That's number one. Go up to the mountain. That's their instruction. And two, bring wood. And three, build a house. Say, I'll be honest with you. I wonder why some of them hadn't seen that. We let that big eye get in front of our eyes. And when a big eye shuts out everything else in our eyes, and we don't see the things that we should see, that which would be very simple becomes a very complex problem. And people say life today is so complex, and we need the psychiatrist. We must go and get things straightened out. My friend, if you just put God in his place, it'll straighten out a great many things and get big eye out of the way. Remove that. This is very simple. I'm almost embarrassed to dwell on this. Somebody says, "You mean you could make a sermon out of this?" I have. I've preached on these three points. Go up to the mountain. Cut down the trees. Go up to the mountains. Cut down the trees. By the way, that's interesting. You see, that land is denuded today. Israel has had a project from the very beginning to plant trees, and they planted millions of trees. And still, those hills all look bare to me. Very few of them have any green on them. A lot of bare hills. You can be sure of one thing. God did judge that land. But how were the trees removed? For all that land was covered with trees. This verse reveals it here. God wouldn't tell them to go up to the mountains and get wood if there wasn't any wood up there. They'd have another good excuse if they could say, "Well, there's no wood up there." But there was. That whole land was covered with trees. You remember the night the Lord Jesus was arrested. Peter came in with John, and they had a fire built there. What kind of fire do you think it was? Do you think they had heating oil in that day? Do you think that they were using electrical heat? They weren't. They were burning wood. Well, where could you get wood in that land? There were trees, and that's what happened. When the enemy came into that land, he cut down a great many of the trees. In fact, he cut down all the trees practically. Now, God says, go up to the mountain. It's just that simple. They were saying, "Well, you know, it's not time to build God's house. After all, that's going to require a little effort to go up to the mountain. And the second thing, you're to bring the wood. That is, make lumber out of it. Hew the logs out. And then the third thing, Build a house. Build a temple. Get busy. Go to work. That was the answer. You know that is the solution to a great many of the problems that the Christians have in today, and it's so simple that many of us have missed it. I know people that have been going for years to Sunday school conventions, Bible conferences, and these symposiums, and they have been taking course after course after course. And I know them. I know many people like that. And they tell me, oh, I just hope someday I'm going to be used of God. I hope someday I'll be able to do something. Do you know what the problem is? They're lazy. They don't go to work. The Holy Spirit is not going to bless laziness. I think I've used this before, but it certainly illustrates the thing that we want to say today. I used to have students, the day of exam, come up to me and say, well, I wasn't able to study last night. We felt we should have a prayer meeting for China or Africa. And I said, look, the night before exam, I can tell you it's never God's will for you to pray for Africa. You better pray that you pass the exam, and I won't excuse you for that. That's just a pious reason. You go back and sit down and take the exam. Boy, they didn't like that. Of course they didn't. They're very pious, but very lazy. I'll tell you that. And then they say that we just felt like the Lord would give us the answer. And I used to tell them, you can't put a Scofield Bible under your pillow at night before exam and expect the knowledge to come up through the duck feathers. God just doesn't give it that way, friends. There is no substitute for work in God's program today. No substitute for work. We'll have to leave off there, but I told you that you wouldn't like Haggai.